السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين، ما بعد. إن شاء الله we will not go through the reflection of the Quran today, but we'll go over some names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have been reflecting on the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for many months now. I think we have reached 50. Yeah. So we take one name and then, you know, reflect on it, and then the following week another name and so forth. But today we'll do something that is a little different, which I think we have done about 15 years ago. We done something similar like that, which is a reflection on understanding what are the names and attributes, the beautiful names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we deal with them, and how we are created from these names and attributes. And then we reflect on the attributes in Surah, I'm sorry? Did someone say it? The Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mentioned certain names one after another, after another, after another. So, the attributes and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only way to know about Allah. And to know about Allah is to get close to Allah and recognize His attributes all around us. And it is something that all of us must one time or another, or continuously, or on and off, reflect on and understand. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِلَّهِ 99 أَسْمَى مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Okay. For Allah, 99 names. He who أَحْصَاهَا will enter Jannah. أَحْصَاهَا here meaning knows them, know what it means, ponder about it, and can recognize them around them, then he will enter Jannah. And as we said before, some scholar says he will enter Jannah in this life before the hereafter, once these names are recognized. And also we have a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the meaning of the hadith that Allah created us from His image, meaning the image, not the, as a Christian concept, image of a nose and an eye and an ear, but image here meaning attributes, meaning manners. So when we say an attribute of Allah, we have a beginning of understanding of it, and we carry some of it. Example, Allah is the most merciful, but Allah has given us some mercy. So we begin to understand what mercy is because we are created from the mercy of Allah, and Allah has given us ability to be a merciful person. Okay? But of course, now when we reflect on something like that, we reflect on what does it mean for Allah to be merciful? What does it mean for us to be merciful? And what is the relationship between our mercy and the mercy of Allah? Okay? And mostly each name will try to have this connection. That name, when Allah is described by that name, Allah has a certain understanding. But when it comes to us, it's a little different understanding, but we do have a relationship with that name, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr mentioned many names one right after the other. الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. Eight names, one right after the other, and eight attributes. So we'll go, inshallah, as many as the time allows, inshallah, through each name quickly, not in so much details, but an overall seeing, looking, and what it means. When we say, what does it mean when Allah is al-Malik? What does it mean that we have mulk as well? And what is the relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this name? And then al-Quddus. Do we have Quddus as well? Yes, given to us by Allah. But there is Allah is al-Quddus. So what is this means and what is the relationship? So al-Malik, it is a word that Allah describes Himself with, a description in the Arabic language which we use in the Quran, Maliki Yawmi Deen, and some recitation, Maliki Yawmi Deen. Okay? Malik and Malik. Malik is an owner, the owner, or the king or the owner, the controller. Malik, the same meaning. To have an ownership, to have a control over something. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us mulk as well. So, we do have the right and the ability to own things. So, we can say, there is something under my mulk. Okay? So, what does that mean? Allah is al-Malik al-Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns everything. He created everything and He's absolutely have an absolute ownership over everything. Okay? And this is the beginning of the understanding the names and attributes of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly, absolutely the sole owner, the true owner of everything that He created. Has a full control everything that He create, everything in His creation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us from His attributes. So He created us from His mulk and give us mulk. But the mulk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, a mulk is not absolute. A mulk that is given to us and is temporary. Okay? So whatever it is that we have ownership on, Allah allows us to do that, to have that ownership on it. But it's a temporary ownership. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us ownership over our limbs, our hands. As I'm sitting here, I decide to move my hand and put it on the chair like this. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me that ability to make a decision about something that I own, which is my hand, and I can move it. I have intention to move it and go ahead and move it. But this ownership is not absolute. It is given to me by Allah. Okay? So if Allah wishes, we'll lift that ownership, then I will not be able to move it. So this is must be in our understanding. That whatever it is that we own, that ownership, Allah has given it to us and could be taken away at any time. So Allah has given us ownership in our vision, our eyes. So we have control, we have mulk over our eyes. We can shift our eyes right and left. We can close our eyes. We can look at whatever we wish to look at. And over our tongue, the tongue will move and give sounds to give meanings of something that you would like to articulate. Okay? So Allah has given you that ability to do that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can take it away any time. As one shepherd, he was asked about the sheep he has. He said, to whom this sheep belongs? He thought and said, this belongs to Allah, but is under my control for now. Meaning, that control over what he did not say, they are mine, I own them. No, he said it belongs to Allah, But Allah has put it in my ownership now. So, but when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ownership is not given to Allah. The ownership, Allah is the owner. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not given to Allah. It is innate in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do be absolutely an owner and a controller of everything that He created. So, the ownership that we have, we cannot be independent in it. We cannot be independent in it. Okay? You cannot have something and you say that you own and say, and I am absolutely in control of it without any outside help. We all need others who have different ownership to communicate with so we can survive. Okay? You cannot be isolated by yourself in your ownership and say, I'm absolutely in control here and I don't need anybody. No, you're absolutely in need of everyone else because you do not have that quality that you can actually be in total control. You have others to help you in your ownership. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His ownership is absolute and He does not need anyone in His ownership. What we own, we need. And it does not need us. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns, Allah does not need it. And it absolutely needs Allah. Okay? Now when you get in the car and put the key in the car and start it and say, Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha, and make the dua of as-safar. Now you know what that dua means. You praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making this machine, you know, under your control here. And if it wasn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving you that ability, you wouldn't have been able to have that ability. This is what it means. Okay? This is giving, having an understanding of what true ownership is. Now, the ownership is not absolute, as we said. However, there is a hellfire and paradise. So if I do not really have a control over my ownership, how can I be punished or be rewarded? So there is an absolute ownership that is given to us. There is an absolute ownership that is given to us. And that ownership, it has to do with inside. Okay, what are you doing with your intention? You are absolutely free here. In your intention. Okay? You're going to get according to your intention. So therefore, your intention can take you to hellfire or can take you to paradise. Can take you to reward for that which you're doing or take you a loss in that which you are doing. So therefore, that ability and that decision that you're making, Allah has given you that ability and you are free in it. Absolutely free in it. Okay? And over desires. Okay? You are on control over your desires. The desires that starts from within. Okay? You have control. Allah has given you control over that. And in some scholars translate or explain or give tafsir to in Surah Yusuf alayhi salam when he praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mulk that He has given him. Okay, the mulk. The mulk here, and some understand it as the mulk of Egypt, right? The ownership and now the control of the to be in control of a minister of finance as well, or agriculture, if you will, in Egypt and so forth. But there are some scholars says no, the true mulk, because this is something that was he thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, and there is something absolutely here he has a control of, and he succeeded to be in control of it. Which is upon his desires. When the wife of Al-Aziz tried to seduce him and he controlled himself. That was the mulk. Okay? And some scholars actually say that is the mulk that he mentioned, that he thanks Allah for. The ownership and control over that desire. Okay? That is Al-Malik. So now we establish that Allah owns everything. Everything needs Allah. Allah does not need anything. Allah given ownership, our ownership, we need it. and we have some control over it, a temporary control. So now, Al-Quddus. Al-Quddus is the pure. The pure. Pure of what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, pure of what? Now you're going to say, pure of deficiencies, wal-i'adhu billah. You know? It will say what? As someone was saying that, as if you are introducing someone and saying what? Here is brother so-and-so. He's not a liar. He's not a cheat. He's not, you know, he's not. You are making him pure of these, you know, qualities. But it's almost an insult. Okay? So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so pure. And He is pure from our idea of what purity is. Okay? Our idea of what purity is, Allah is pure of that. Okay? Now, this purity, which is Qudus, okay? What is Bayt al-Maqdis, al-Ard al-Muqaddasa? It's a pure land. That's blessed land. Okay? Now, the purity Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in His creation. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mulk, and within Allah's mulk, there is purity. There is Qudus. Okay? This is the connection in the names, in this sequence. So everything that Allah created, Allah has mulk over it and has Qudus in it. Had put Qudus in it, had purity in it. So there is no absolute evil. There is no absolute evil. Because if you say there is absolute evil, that means that you're saying that there is a quality, wal-i'adhu billah, that Allah has that is not good. And that is unacceptable. All the names and attributes of Allah is pure and it is good. So therefore, everything that you see, we can perceive evil in it, but at the end, it will reach purity and goodness and justice. Because Allah is Al-Quddus. So we have to understand that. So when we see things around us seems to be bad that's happening, we know, after all, Allah created shaitan. Shaitan does not do anything without the will of Allah, without the permission of Allah. Allah permitted shaitan to do his work. So shaitan work eventually will reach to purity, justice, and Qudus. Must. Okay? And as we said once before when we were reflecting on that name, someone who was who is an evangelist, okay? He was having an interview in television a long time ago. And he was asked, the one who was asking him, he said, you know, let me be the devil's advocate here, he said. He said, okay, you say God exists, God do this good thing, good, okay? He said, what about those who are being, you know, starved in Africa? What about the wars in this, and all this evil that's happening? How do you explain that, he said. And here is this person who's worldwide famous. That was Billy Graham. You know Billy Graham, right? No? Okay. Okay. So he said, you know, there is God and there is Satan. And I try to quote exactly here. Satan seems to be winning now, but eventually God will win. Imagine that. Imagine that concept. Okay? We say, no. Allah is Al-Quddus. Allah is Al-Quddus, the pure. So everything that you see there that is, you perceive it is evil, it is not. It will lead to justice and fairness and goodness. Must. Must. After all, why are we building this masjid? Why did we build this masjid? Why are we have just now qiyam for the youth coming around in Ramadan in the last nights of Ramadan? Okay? Because of the work of shaitan that is happening around us. Okay? The work of shaitan that's happening around us is magnifying our work in here, our work, and try to bring the purity around everything that we do and with our youth and young ones and so forth. Okay? So this is again, Allah has mulk, ownership over His creation. He owns it, and then Allah has Qudus in it, has purity in it. It's a concept of purity in everything that Allah created. Similarly, we have Qudus in us because we are created from the attributes of Allah. So therefore, we have to achieve Qudus in that which we have mulk on. Okay? Now establish that we have mulk. So I have a mulk again in my hand. It will move as I wish. But then I have to practice Qudus in it as well. I have to make sure that what this hand does is only that which is pure. Because I'm going to be charged on it. I'm going to be asked about it. Allah has given us over the tongue mulk. And we must practice Qudus on this tongue and only say that which is good. Allah has given us mulk over our eyes and our vision. You only see that which is halal, that which is good. That is how we achieve purity in it. Okay? In the day of judgment, Allah asked, لِمَنْ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ? To whom mulk belongs today? And the answer is, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَهَّارِ. To Allah, the only one, and He is the compeller of everything. So Allah that day, He is the only one who have mulk. All other mulk has been lifted. There is nothing in the creation of Allah at that moment, the moment of the day of judgment, have any mulk, have any true ownership, period. Okay? Al-Qahhar, the compeller. So everything now is that Allah created, Allah compelled to do certain things. Now at the day of judgment is absolutely being compelled. Does not have a choice, zero choice. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, and that is the time when their hand will speak. Okay? And their feet will speak, and their skin will be a witness upon them. Meaning that hand that you used to have mulk over it, at the day of judgment, that mulk is lifted because absolute mulk belongs to Allah. So therefore, the hand will speak and be a witness. And you will have no control over it. It will be independent of you. Okay? See how beautiful this is. Okay? So, Allah created a creation and He has absolute control over it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the very innate creation that He created, has Qudus purity in it. And give you mulk and give you the ability to practice Qudus as well. So, make sure that which you have control of, you use it in a proper manner. Okay? And when you do so, this is a relationship with Allah. Okay? This is a continuous relationship with Allah. Because you are moving with the attributes of Allah in you. Okay? And you are seeing these attributes in action. And you are somehow control in this. And you're going to be judged of how you're going to do this. So now, Allah is As-Salam. Al-Malik Al-Quddus Salam. What is As-Salam? Peace. The peace. So Allah have a creation that He created, and then He put something in the creation, absolute part of it, which is purity. Everything will lead to purity. And have Salam in it. What is salam? Peace. What does peace mean? How do you achieve peace? We achieve peace by pushing harm away, right? What is the opposite of peace? To be in a condition that is not peaceful. Why are you in a condition that is not peaceful? Because there is something in it that is spoiling it. So once you push that which is spoiled, the peace away, you are achieving a condition of peace. So peace is to push the harm away. What is Jannah? The name of Jannah? Darus Salam. The abode of peace. That means absolute peace. What is that peace in Jannah? That means absolute peace. That means there is no harm absolutely. Everybody's sitting here on the floor. While you're sitting, you have weight. You have a weight, your body's weight. On the ground, that is hard. Everybody feel, especially after a night that we have, some ache, right? Some ache, some discomfort. That doesn't exist in Jannah, because the Jannah is the abode of peace. Imagine that. That bother is not going to exist. Okay? When you are speaking, and I'm speaking now, and then I stop and take a breath in and then out and so forth, this is something that I do to keep going. That doesn't exist in Jannah, because this is, I'm exerting an effort here, and there is some kind of a bother. Because Jannah is in the abode of peace, so there is no bother in it, even in speaking and breathing and so forth. So now, Allah pushes harms away from His creation. His creation is designed in a way that harm is pushed away. How? When a baby is born, those fathers who were with their wives as the baby is delivered, when your baby is delivered, what was their head looking look like? Long, right? Yes, do I see heads? Okay. Why, how come that the head became long? In the skull, there is... Yeah. The skull is made as 1, 2, 3, 4 pieces, right? This puzzle-like edges that fits together, when the baby is born, they're not connected yet. So as the baby is born, actually the head can be squeezed. So the harm will be away from whom? From the mother. Okay. And the harm will be away from the baby. When that head is, it becomes starting to get together, you put your hand on the top of the head of the baby, you find what? A pulse, right? And it's pulse. It's, you can almost feel no bones there in an area there, because the head needs to be, the brain is expanding, so the skull is not quite healed yet or closed yet, so that the brain will expand. Allah's design is peace, is keeping the harm away, so things will go on. What happened when a child is growing? I did not know until recently that children grow in spurts. Did you know that? You put a child in your crib 2 or 3 days, and then one morning you wake up and he's an inch taller. Maybe not quite an inch. Okay? Okay? But, you know, I did not know that. Okay? They grow in spurts like that. Okay? So now, the bones grows like this. But at a certain time, a certain age, Allah designed the bone to stop growing. Stops growing. Because that would be a disease if the bone keeps on growing. Right? But now, what happens when you break your foot? What happens when you go to the doctor? All they do is put the two bones together, right? And then what happened? That's it. The memory that was in the bones that says grow, it now comes back. And it says grow again. So it mends together. Now it is one bone again, strong. Now the memory stops. The design that Allah designed, a design that keeps the harm away. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mulk. And Allah designed Qudus, purity in it. And Allah push harm away from His design, so it will be in peace. Okay? And if you leave everything as it is and don't get involved in it, it will be in peace. But when mankind gets involved in it with the choice that they have and cause mischief, that's when problems happen. But eventually, even though we're causing problems, eventually, there is no, or always, there is no absolute evil in it, in that which we try to do, even in a way of evil. Now, we have mulk. We have Qudus. We're trying to work with Qudus in the mulk that we have. And how to do that? To achieve peace. How do you achieve peace? Push the harm away. Okay? So you as a human being that created by Allah have mulk, and you practice Qudus in your mulk, and you're pushing harm away, so you maintain the peace in that mulk which you have. Whether it is a limb that you have, whether it is a children that you're in charge of, whether it is a household that you're in charge of, whether an earth that you're in charge of, and so forth. You are constant working of keeping the harm away to keep peace. Okay. Now do you see how these names are fitting one after another after another? What is al-mu'min? Al-mu'min, it has many meanings. We'll talk about one meaning of it. What mu'min, it is from amn. What is amn? Security or safety. Okay? Safety. Now, what is safety? Allah al-mu'min, that means the one, the safety giver. One of the understanding of the attribute of mu'min, the safety giver. Now imagine what that means. I'm sitting in a chair. The chair is made out of wood. I know what the property of wood is like. What is the property of a wood? I know it is strong because it is thick. If it is thin, I will say no, maybe I will not stand on it. So I kind of know how this wood is going to react to me, to my work in it. I could carve something in it. Okay? And it will remain with that property all the time. This is something that we do not think about. That you're walking into a room and you trust that the floor under you is a floor that will remain as it is with that properties that Allah created. The property is not going to change on you. It's not going to change liquid. It's not going to all of a sudden reach a certain age and says, I'm too old and break apart. Imagine if your life, if that safety is not given to you, how miserable your life is going to be. Every second of your life, you'll be walking around like in scared. How things are going to change at any second. Okay? Why did Musa alayhi salam get really scared when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the stick started shaking ka'annaha jan, as if it is jinn? The stick started shaking. Why did he really get scared and run away? It's because of that. That kind of safety of things, all of a sudden he was confronted with something that he never experienced. He's not used to some stick of wood becomes something soft and start shaking and start changing shape. That's very scary, very unsafe. It touches a core in your very being. So, al-mu'min is the one that gives safety. So you put your clothes on and you know that it is not see-through. And it's not going to be see-through throughout the day. You put clothes on and it is heavy because it is cold out. And you know it is going to remain with that density in it and it will keep you warm. That we do not think about. Subhanallah, we cannot stop on pondering about this period. So now, also this name is very special. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called us al-mu'minun and he called himself al-mu'min. So Allah actually gave us, you know, his name here, al-mu'min. So now, how are we safety givers? Remember, Allah has mulk and has qudus in his mulk and has salam by pushing harm away in his mulk. And now this amn is not just pushing the harm, is bringing in benefit, right? There is a difference between pushing harm away and bringing in benefit. As-salam is push the harm away. Al-mu'min is bringing in benefits. Okay? And by the way, in fiqh they say you are obligated to push harm before bringing benefit. Dar al-mafasid yuqaddam ala jalb al-masalih. Okay? If I'm sitting here, somebody's giving me something to eat, or somebody's hit me with a stick, who I'm going to attend to first? The stick. Otherwise, I will not enjoy eating, period. Okay? So, we are al-mu'minun. That means we are the giver of safety. What does that mean? That means in our mulk, we practice purity, and we push the harm away, we achieve peace, and now we bring in benefit in our mulk by giving safety to everything around us. Okay? When you are a neighbor, as a mu'min, everyone in your neighborhood should look at you and say, this person, we know exactly what to expect from him. That is a giver of safety. When you know what to expect of something or someone, you are safe. You understand? Just like the piece of wood. When I know that my stick is strong enough and I can... So, where did I stop? So, when we are the giver of safety, safety here is meaning that you know what to expect from something, then you're safe. A piece of wood that you are using and carrying my weight, I know what to expect from it. So, therefore, I have a feeling of safety. When people look at you as a believer and know exactly what to expect from you, you are a giver of safety. So in your mulk, you practice impurity and you're pushing the harm away and you're bringing in benefit so everybody knows exactly what to expect from you. Okay? They know that you're never going to come home drunk. Okay? They know that whenever they trust, they want somebody to take care of their children in the neighborhood, they go to you because they know exactly what to expect from you and what not to expect from you. So you are the giver of safety. You are the one that people know exactly what to expect from you. See, here is the living attributes of Allah in us. The living attributes of Allah in us. Okay, we have mulk. Allah has given us. We purify this mulk. We push harm away to create the peace, to bring in benefit. With all of that, it is very clear in our attributes and our actions. So therefore, we are the giver of safety. So people know exactly what to expect from us. So we are people that being liked by others all around us. Okay? Al-Muhaymin. Al-Muhaymin is the one that a caretaker and a controller and a caretaker overlooking things all over his creation. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would leave his house, he would say, the meaning of the hadith, O Allah, anta sahibu fi safar, you are the companion in travel. Okay? And also you are the caretaker of the family. See? That is Al-Muhaymin. Okay? That means he's taking care of everything at the same time. He's over everything that he created with all these attributes that we talked about at the same time. Okay? In control of it completely. It have quds in it, all of it, completely. Pushing the harm away in every details, in everything that he created, completely. Okay? Give her a safety of everything that he did, completely. If he created, completely. Okay? And we do work with everything that Allah has given us at the same time as much as we can to achieve this. Now, I know we've been talking too much. We'll stop at the next one. Al-Aziz. What is Al-Aziz? I know it is a word in Urdu as well. What is Aziz in Urdu? Huh? The what? The majestic one? No. What is when you say Azizi in Urdu, what does that mean? Dear. Right? Okay, so what you said is also correct. Okay, but all it has that quality of dear, something aziz, something dear to you. Okay, when does something become dear to you? Huh? When it is rare, yes. But if it is something rare, it becomes aziz, correct, meaning it is very difficult to find. What if it's something rare but you're not in need of it? It's not aziz. You have to need it. The love, it comes because you are in need of it, and it is so aziz, so little. Okay? So what if it is so much of it and you need it desperately? It's not aziz. You understand? Example, air. Air to us is very dear. But do you really think of the air is dear? And this is in your thoughts and your mind and your heart? No, you don't even think about it. Even though I tell you, you cannot say without it for a minute, you will die. But you don't even think about it. Why? Because it is in abundance. It's everywhere. So quality of something that is aziz, it is something that is, you absolutely need it. But then, it is so little of it. Then you become aware of it. You become, say, this is aziz. Now, another component, a third component in this equation that makes it really aziz, if you're really impossible for you to control it. Imagine something that you absolutely need, and it's so scarce, it's meaning it's only one of it, and you have no ability to contain it. But it is working. You are containing it in you. That becomes really aziz. And that only fitting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Allah, as we said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all His creation needs Him, and He does not need His creation. So He is al-aziz. Because everybody needs Him. Okay? Everybody needs Allah in everything that they have. Okay? We need Allah in everything. So therefore, Allah is absolutely needed in everything, so He is aziz. Now Allah, He's so rare, is only one, so He is aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is impossible for us to contain Allah. With our vision, with our hearing, with anything, period. Allah is, you cannot contain Allah. So He is truly Al-Aziz. Truly Al-Aziz. Okay? Now we get to the Izzah that you're talking about, meaning majesty and independence. Allah has the Izzah from his servants and His creation. He's independent from His creation. And the izzah that we have is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you become aziz yourself. Okay? You are a rare commodity. A Muslim is a very rare commodity. Because he has information about things that are absolute. Absolute. And no other religion has. You have a way about you that is so precise, designed by Allah, there is no other being on the earth has. You have can achieve a high level of manners and quality by the action that Allah designed for you and following it, that you are a very rare commodity. And when you are so, then you get the izzah as well, of dignity. As Umar radiallahu anhu said that we were humiliated and Allah gave us izzah. And if we seek izzah from any direction, other direction, Allah will humiliate us. Okay? So, now this was an exercise. exercise of our mind and heart to look at the attributes of Allah in actions. So the more we do this in our lives, the more you are completely walking in a different level than any other being. Because you see things different than anyone else. When Allah takes you from darkness into light, this is what it is. You'll be going through the same experience as others are, but they will be in darkness and you will be in light. Meaning there are things that they will not be able to recognize and see, and you will be able to recognize these things and see it. So when they do not see things, they will collide with things either going to harm them or it will harm them, or it will harm, they will harm it or it will harm them. But when you are in light, then you're going to maneuver around things. You will not harm anyone, nor nothing will harm you. Okay? So knowing the attributes of Allah and pondering on it, you will be in light. You will truly be in light. And this is what happened to the companions in the very early time. They were talked to about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, and they were enlightened with the idea of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illallah, that they were immersed in it, and they were truly enlightened with it, despite the fact that they were very needy and they had nothing of this dunya. So they were persecuted, they did not have much food, they did not have much ownership in anything, but they were so enlightened with this idea of Allah that they were very content. Okay? And that is a mu'min walking around who knows or has this enlightenment of who is the one that he worships. So this exercise for us to take and use and keep going in other names of Allah and think about it in these terms. Because when I ask any of us to stand up in front of anyone in a group of people and say, talk to this group of people about something that you know very good, that you're excited about, and pick the subject. And then at the end, talk for about 45 minutes, an hour. At the end, I want this group to be as excited about the subject that you're excited about as much as you are. Okay? And I want them to leave here, look at make an intention to go look for this subject now and know more about it. Just work this crowd about the subject that you like and make them move about it. Each one of us, what subject are you going to talk about? Okay, some of us will talk about sports, some of us will talk about whatever it is that you know well and you're excited about. Now, if I tell you, take the microphone and talk about Allah, what are you going to do? You're going to stand and say, Allah is the creator of the heaven and the earth. Allah, Allah, right? We're not going to have much to say. Okay? Now, when you find yourself holding the microphone with a group of people, talking to them about Allah for an hour or two or three, now you know that this is something, a subject that you are excited about, a subject that you have knowledge of, a subject you can get others excited about. Now, your life is going to be different. Because once you start tasting this, no other subject, no other matter will matter to you at all. Cannot be equal to this. That's why this gathering, at this fajr, at these nights and days of Ramadan, about this subject, it must be the best gathering on earth. You must think about it this way. This one of the best gathering on earth has to be because of the time, because of the place, because of the subject. Okay, and if we are excited about something else more than this here, then we need to do a lot of work. We need to do a lot of work. Inshallah, if you would like to make any comments, inshallah, please do so. And the microphone will go around. Those who are gathering here for the first time, this is what we do every Yawm al-Ahad in the morning. And you're going to be recorded, inshallah, your comments. So be careful. No. Okay. Any comments, inshallah?
When I hear about these attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think of the hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ, which is reflects on that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ إِذَا عَمِلَ أَحَدُكُمْ عَمَلًا أَنْ يُتْقِنَهُ, which is a reflection of all the attributes of Allah that He put in us, whether we are doctor or engineers or mechanics or any job that we do, or teachers, to do it in a full potential and a full capabilities, that using the ownership that Allah put in us with knowledge or with our hands to give peace to people around us or the people who are using it. So I'm thinking that this hadith and this attribute is like the result of implementing and understanding the attributes of Allah.
I have a quick question. Is it a shirk if I claim any attributes of Allah, like the ownership? For example, like, this is my money, this is my car.
It could be a small shirk, yes, if you mean it as it... there are words that comes out of your mouth and you do not mean, because it's simply you're stating a fact that everybody understands. This is my car, you say. That is okay. And it's understood that your car, meaning you have the registration for it. Okay? So it is not shirk to say that. But if you believe that you are in control of this and it is yours, independent from Allah, that is shirk, yes. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I am Dr. Abdul Majid from Masjid Rahma,
yes.
Baltimore. We are just visiting here, and
exactly.
Sheikh is our teacher actually. And this is our old Masjid. We have been coming for so many years. Alhamdulillah, another very, very informative talk by the Sheikh. And we are enlightened about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, after listening to his talk, I realized that one of the biggest name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is His recognition. You see, this is from Allah. Hidayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the hidayah to recognize Him. And one of the biggest punishment for a human being is not to recognize the Creator. You see, on the day of judgment, this is the biggest punishment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kuffar and the mushrikeen, will not be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to speak to them. One of the biggest punishments. So this itself is a ni'mah, as the Sheikh said, that depending on the time and the subject, it's so very important. It's a very, very important gathering actually, to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
See?
Yes.
May Allah ta'ala reward the Sheikh for highlighting this important aspect.
And this recognition has to be with knowledge. This recognition has to be with knowledge. Meaning that Allah speaks to us and we need to understand what Allah is telling us. And we understand it, we'll be able to articulate it. Okay. If we are excited about a subject, which is Allah and La ilaha illallah, okay, and you really, you know, excited about it, but then you carrying it and you don't know how to articulate it. If you don't know how to articulate it, you can fall into obstacles in the way that people will put in front of you. You'll not be able to articulate. You are like Ali radiallahu anhu said, مَشْغُوفٌ بِمَا لَا يَدْرِي حَقِيقَةً. You are mesmerized with that which you don't know the reality of it. Okay? Imagine you are overtaken about something you don't quite know the reality of it. Okay? So, you are absolutely right. You are mesmerized and taken and immersed in this idea of Allah and La ilaha illallah. But then, we have to be able to understand and articulate it. Okay? That is a step must be, we all must be in the achievement of that. Okay? But just to say, La ilaha illallah, there is no God but Allah. As exactly as I said at the end, if you're given the microphone and you will not be able to articulate all of that, then we're not there yet. Okay? Because when you start articulating it, there's an indication that you understand it. And when you understand it, indication that you really believe it. And when you really believe it, you're going to really live it. So that way, you are moving in this direction. Okay? But unless we, because it is the words that Allah has given us. When Allah says, "Hu al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam," okay, what does that mean? If you don't look at this, understand this, ponder on this, then to you it's not going to mean much. We're just going to be mesmerized with something that we don't quite understand, but our heart can recognize, but it must be beyond recognition. Okay? It must be through the knowledge. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Okay? That is a difference between a abid and a alim in a different degrees. Okay? All of us are ubad. All of us are ulama in different degrees, right? But differently, the alim is better than abid. And shaitan is scared of al alim. He's not quite scared of al abid. Okay? So, we, because this word recognition is something that everybody agrees with. Shaitan recognizes Allah. Okay? Shaitan, if you ask Shaitan who's the creator, he will say Allah. If you ask Shaitan who's the provider, he'll say Allah. If you ask Shaitan who is the controller of the heaven and the earth, he'll say Allah. Okay? But if you ask Shaitan, who has the right to tell you what to do? He'll say, no. That's a different story. Okay? Okay. So to recognize, you have people who stand in other religion and talk for hours about things that recognize in Allah. And things that are very nice. God is the one who does. God is all great. God is doing this and God is... Okay. But at the end, that does not save one from hellfire. But it's simply a recognition. But I understand the brother is saying recognition, meaning at the day of judgment. Yes, that's a different story. Meaning that we'll be able to be with Allah at the day of judgment, recognize Allah, and the one who did not follow Allah will not be able to recognize Allah. Yes, that is true in the day of judgment. But in this life, we need to move beyond the recognition to the knowledge of what we are recognizing.
Jazakallah, Shaykh. You are enlightening us more and more, alhamdulillah. May Allah Ta'ala give Allah more barakah in your knowledge.
Allah barakah.
You see, one more thing hit my mind as you spoke, that you see, the more we know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more we will enjoy Islam.
Yes.
More we will be happy to bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
You see, think a person who is not understanding, who is not recognizing, who doesn't know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his prayer will become just acting.
Mm-hmm.
It will be just acting.
Mm-hmm.
Now if a person knows who to be, in whose presence he is standing, then it will be entirely different prayers actually. Yeah. Yeah. And today the tragedy of the Ummah is the Ummah itself is unable to understand who the creator is in real words actually. Mm-hmm.
Alhamdulillah.
Jazakallah khair.
Allah barik fi. Allah barik fi.
No. Yes. Yes. When we study the names of Allah, do we have a sequence?
Assalamu alaikum. So, Alhamdulillah, about the attributes. When you say Al Malik, so it thing puts the thing in perspective that who is the actual owner.
Yes. It humbles you.
It humbles you.
Yes.
And it takes the arrogance away, mm-hmm. like, you know, where it belongs. So I was watching this, the Turner, who's the owner of CNN. He's a very rich man, and he has gotten very old now. And they were interviewing, he says he has everything, the farm, the land. And, but he has realized at this age that it won't be there any longer. Mm-hmm. So there's humility is coming to him mm-hmm. by experience rather than
knowledge. Yes.
So man can recognize it by experience also.
Yes.
So yes. I just want to
Subhanallah. Yes. 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 The sunnah of Allah, the Muslim and a kafir will go through it. You understand? You know? But the Muslim will know it and see it coming and so forth. The kafir will be in it and say, what happened? Yes.
I was asking about that the names of Allah is 99 names. Mm-hmm. When we study them, do we have a sequence that you have to start with? Like we started tonight or this morning with Al-Malik, which yes. is uh-huh. the owner, and then after that we moved by yeah. the other attributes because yeah. they are starting with that and relying on it. Okay. So the other 99 names or the rest of the names, do we have a sequence when it's the first one and are they coming in like a series? Or?
Not necessarily, Wallahu A'lam. But once it is put in the Quran in certain order, then you have to reflect on it with that order, okay? Because you get more of it, of the meaning and understanding once you put it together, because simply Allah put it together. And it is a whole study scholars did about the ending of the ayat, right? You find an ayah ends usually with two attributes of Allah, right? وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Right? وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ And so forth, right? So once it is mentioned like that, you know, it's a whole beautiful study when you read the ayat before it, and you take those two attributes and you reflect on them and put this ayah and this ayat with those attributes, of course, it magnifies this so much. Yes. Okay.
Wa'iyakum. I just wonder, because we're always looking for Ismallah al-Azam, and we don't know the meaning. I mean, like, we want to...
There are some speculation.
Yeah, they have like the Jalali wal-Ikram, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. But when I'm saying we don't know the meaning, we ask Allah with His name. Yeah. We don't know the meaning.
Yes.
Jazakallah khairan. You open our mind to look for
Allah. Barik fi. Allah barik. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakum Allah khairan.